Hi everyone, and welcome to this series that we're about to bring to you. So this podcast is going to be something a little bit new, a little bit different. We're going to bring you to the world of volcanoes in ways that you may not have thought about this before. So we're going to think about how volcanoes interact across nature, culture, society, wildlife, and seeing this through the eyes of a whole range of people, all from different backgrounds.
I love chatting to you, Sam, about volcanoes in general. My background isn't as a volcano scientist, but we don't regularly come into contact with volcanoes, right? Like, there's not, even though we might have an interest in it, you guys, the scientists who study volcanoes, interact with volcanoes on a daily basis. Maybe not a daily basis, but...
Yeah, sometimes we wish we did, but sometimes it's also nice to spend time in the office. So I guess that leads on to a good point, my perspective and background. So I'm a volcanologist, but also a science communicator, but I delve into some ocean science every now and again. But as you say, it's nice to have a range of opinions to be able to talk about these things. So you yourself, your background, say, is in science, but you came in through astronomy, right?
Yeah, so when I was small, I wanted to be a planetary geologist. So I wanted to know why different planets work in different ways. Like here on Earth, our plate tectonics make the Earth do one thing, but on Mars, why do we have the largest volcano in the solar system? On the moons of Jupiter, why are they volcanic and how do the mechanics work differently? So I was really interested in why we have such different processes, or the same process, but in lots of different ways.
So the idea behind this is to give you all a perspective, as I say, from volcanoes all around the world, all around the solar system, from top of the mountains to the seafloor, and seeing it through many different eyes. We'll talk to volcanologists, we'll talk to oceanographers, science communicators, educators, and then even branching out further into artists, performers, authors, journalists, all these people across society who see a different aspect and avenue of ways that volcanoes shape our planet, but also our daily lives and society, whether we know that or not. Really, this podcast could be for anyone. You don't have to have a science background, you don't have to have expertise in geology or earth science. If you've got some interest and intrigue in the natural world around you, whether that's the processes that form the things you see, or you've seen it through TV and media, or you're just really captivated by everything the Earth has to offer us, then I think this will be something you find really interesting.
And that's the thing that intrigues me, has always intrigued me about volcanoes, really, is the fact that we always get blinded by the things that are normal to us. But for a lot of people, volcanoes are super normal. Like, they live on them and around them and sometimes in them, in the like, place like the Azores.
Yes, of course. You've got hundreds of millions of people that are all close and proximal potentially to volcanic hazards. And so it's, as you say, it's a part of so many people's daily lives. Like, even here in the UK, volcanoes are in our backyard, but we just may not be aware of them, or we've just not... No one's told us to go to this place and to look specifically at what's going on beneath our feet. So no matter where you are around the planet, you can always find evidence of how volcanoes have shaped that world around you.
Absolutely. And, you know, what you were saying about who will be on this podcast, and, you know, there's going to be hopefully many podcasts, all about a half hour long each, with wonderful people. But the range that you're going to be getting for this will be, it's because everyone has an experience. Like, if you don't have to be a scientist or an artist or a poet, you might just live on or near a volcano, and your experience then is as valid as anyone else's. And the stories that you have to tell are super interesting.
Exactly. And as you say, from that perspective, one thing that brings each of us from these different avenues together is that we're all storytellers in one way, shape or another. That's what we're trying to do as scientists. We're trying to, particularly in the earth sciences, we're seeing something and trying to create a story about the things we observe and the things we analyze. If you're an artist, you're trying to tell a narrative through the media and through the senses you want to capture through what you do. We're all storytellers when it comes to these things. So I think that's where it's really good to to bring these different aspects of society and culture together, and to integrate science into that, because, as you say, it brings everybody's perspective to everybody else, and it just creates this web of different ways that you can perceive nature.
My first ever dealings with volcanoes, I remember printing out on an old LaserJet printer. This was probably circa late 90s. I did a whole kind of poster thing on Mount Etna, and it was in geography. And I remember I loved geography in school, but I could never fathom, I still can't fathom, why you were split into physical and human, because they're so interlinked. Like, I didn't want to have to choose between the two of them, and there's nothing that shows that better than probably the biggest physical feature on our planet, which is volcanoes, and the biggest human geographical geohazard or whatever that is humans living on or near volcanoes.
Yes, exactly. You know, for these people that live close to these regions, there's many different aspects of it. Obviously, there's hazards and there are risks, and people have to live with this on a daily basis. But in these places, volcanoes are also used as an influence for culture, for history, for the way communities develop, for how they actually, you know, keep their livelihoods going. You see this all, volcanoes create incredibly fertile environments that make volcanic regions very, very, very appealing places to be and to have a livelihood. So there's so many different avenues, and it's just finding that balance, I think, it's when we're discussing these things. Because, of course, you know, we can even see this in the news today. Volcanoes can wreak havoc to individuals' lives. You know, you can have one person whose house is destroyed, and then a few hundred yards away, someone's livelihood remains completely intact. And so even just on a very, very small local scale, there's such competing impacts for individuals. And so, as I say, striking that balance when we have these conversations and being aware of the good that these systems can provide, but also the impact that the bad impacts that they have, is something we always need to bear in mind.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned what's happening today at the time of this recording. There are a bunch of volcanoes that are quite active. And I don't know whether I'm hypersensitive at the moment to world changing and ending events, that I'm just noticing them more. You know, I'm always looking for the next pandemic or the next kind of volcano going off or the next tsunami. But we do find that as much as it is a good time for a good time, if you are a volcano, it's a good time because there are lots of your friends going off at the same time. Obviously, for the people that are in the path of those, that's not a great time. But there are multiple volcanoes going off right at this minute, at the time of this recording, right?
Yes, exactly. We've picked a very interesting time to start this. And as you said, the world seems to be coming alive for it. So what have we got going on right now? There's the eruption on Cumbre Vieja, on La Palma. Mount Etna has started erupting again. There's the ongoing eruption in Iceland. Volcano recently had some increased activity. The lava lake at Halema'uma'u on Kilauea volcano in Hawaii is here again. And there was also some activity in a Volcán de Fuego in Guatemala. So yes, it's a busy time for volcanoes, but something we've always got to bear in mind is this is relatively regular. There's always a few dozen different volcanoes around the world erupting at any one time, but it's the ones that capture media attention, the ones that are close to people living there, the ones that people know about through pop culture and media. Those are the ones that make people perceive, oh, there's a lot of volcanic activity going on right now. And we've got to be really careful sometimes in the wording that we use, because people think, oh, there's lots of volcanic activity, I'm seeing it in the news. Does this mean something else? Does all of this volcanic activity mean something global about the Earth? Are all these systems connected? And it's just always good for us to wind back and look at the big picture and realize this is what happens on a daily basis. You just may not know about the volcanoes that are always erupting in Kamchatka in eastern Russia or the Aleutian Islands over in Alaska.
And I suppose at one point we were all those people who, like, I don't know what, look, I get my Twitter feed is normally pretty packed out with volcanologists when volcanoes are going off near them. But we were all at that point at one point where we didn't know what was going on around the world. If there was a volcano in the middle of the ocean, you might not know that it was going off. And scientists wouldn't know it was going off. But now, with new remote sensing and things, we've got a pretty good eye on almost everything.
Exactly. If you were to, say, look at a graph of, you know, recorded volcanic eruptions back through history, all you'll see is just an increase. You'll just see the number of volcanic events that are being recorded just increasing over time up to this day, particularly, as you say, with the use of satellites being able to capture everything around the globe. And so we've just got to remember that that's not an increase in global volcanic activity. It is literally that. It is our ability to record more. It's our ability to have more people that, well, population has grown over the world. So there are regions 100 years ago that didn't have, that had hardly anyone living in them. In fact, if you think probably a good few hundred years ago, there are areas of the globe that were still not populated whatsoever. There are eruptions probably in the, even as late as the 1700s and the 1800s, even the 1900s, that have just gone unrecorded through the eyes of human beings. But that's where we can, you know, go and do field work and look at the sediments and the ash that erupted from these things. But you've got to know they've happened. If you don't know the eruptions happened, it's sometimes hard to go and actually to try and go and find that data in the first place.
And now we're at a point where we go weekly podcasts just about volcanoes. What a time to be alive.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really, really good point, actually. We are not the only volcano podcast out there. And over the course of this series, we'll be highlighting some more of them and speaking to the people who actually run those. So I'm really excited for that. But one that you should have a listen to is one called Volcano Watch. And so, as Hugh just said, they actually have a weekly podcast where they do updates on recent activity. So, for example, at the moment, we've got the activity at La Palma over in Iceland. And so they've got regular updates for those. So you should definitely have a listen to those if you get the opportunity.
I'm super excited, man. Like, volcanoes over the years, I wanted to be many things when I was a kid. I wanted to be a paleontologist, which I would always point out to people is different to be an archaeologist. But paleontology, I wanted to do astronaut, and I went to sign up for the RAF, and I found out it would take a lot of work to go and be an astronaut, so I didn't do that. Then I wanted to be an astronomer, so I went and did that. But like, a lot of my early birthday parties were spent in the National Museum here in Wales, looking at rocks. Like, I literally have a rock collection back home that is full of all my favorite rocks. And it's played such a big part of my life, but it wasn't until, I think the first volcano I stepped on was when I started my company, which was all about science communication and the outdoors and getting that back into classrooms. And we went to do live Skype classroom lessons from Mount Etna. And I mean, we were on a call to a school in, I think it was Nebraska. And our chemist that was with us, Suze, she was doing a talk to camera to these kids out in Nebraska, and the volcano started going off behind us, and just a big smoke plume. I was oddly aware of how quiet it is sometimes when they go off. Like, I didn't hear anything, but there was this massive cloud of ash at the back of it. But instead of like doing anything else, we were like, get the cameras, and just like all picked up cameras, started taking photos of it. So it holds a special place for me, volcanoes, because it helps start this part of my career, and I'm always thankful for it.
Yeah. Well, particularly that experience as well, you know, you brought live volcanic activity to the center of Nebraska, an area not commonly known for its volcanic activity. So who knows how many young volcanologists or scientists you inspired during that event. So I know there are many people that it probably would have done.
Absolutely. We got a bunch of really nice handwritten letters, and one of them was from a chap called Tibbs. And this was back in 2013. So Tibbs would now be a good 8 years older, and like could well be like 18 years old or so. Let's see if I can get back in touch with Tibbs. But he wrote a really kind of heartfelt note about how cool the volcano was and how nice it was to Skype with us whilst we were on Mount Etna.
Fantastic. Because I know that outreach is something we're going to talk about a lot over the course of this series, and we've got some people lined up who can speak specifically to efforts of volcano science outreach. But I know from my perspective, you know, I didn't have any of that in school. There was very little taught to us, as you say, apart from just in geography lessons. There was no one who really came in. We didn't do these sessions like Skype Scientist, where we had, well, these were previous days where we didn't really have abilities like Skype a Scientist at that point. So we're in a very different time where we can bring something very different to the classroom in terms of getting kids excited about science and intrigued about science from ways they may not normally hear about in a classroom. So for me, my interest in geology started when I was around, I was in high school. It was the earthquake that caused the Boxing Day tsunami in 2004 that really piqued my interest in earth science. I think at that point I wanted to be a music teacher and an author. So a complete switch of career interest. But I just remember that event happening and I couldn't take my eyes off the news, not only because of the, you know, the tragedy but behind the entire events, but just that realization of the power of the planet and how widespread those impacts were. And I think from that point onwards, it just made me think, wow, you know, the Earth is an incredible place with these incredible processes that do impact us. It's not just something you hear about in a geography lesson that makes a case study. It's affecting people right now, today.
Vulcan Knowledge is supported by Geology for Global Development. It's a UK-based charity which champions the role of geology in sustainable development. Their aim is to mobilise and reshape the global geology community to help deliver the UN Sustainable Development Goals. You can find out more about the work of GFGD by visiting their website, www.gfgd.org, or following them on social media. They're quite the juxtaposition, volcanoes, because they're both something that is abstract and too big to fathom, and largely people don't live near them on the most part. But at the same time, they are something that affects people in sometimes really horrific ways. People can lose everything to them. You don't need to be living on or next to them for them to affect you. Like you said, the earthquakes and volcanoes and other types of hazards can spread all around the planet. You don't need to be next to them for it to play a part. So they're both like very removed from our lives and very present in our lives at exactly the same time.
Yes. I know you'll have some situations. I think back to the Pinatubo eruption, the colossal eruption in 1991, Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. So, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away from where we are over here in the UK. And I remember my parents telling me that they woke up one morning and there was a very, very thin film of just dust on the car outside the house. So, you know, I think probably 8,000, 9,000 miles around the globe. I mean, this was the largest eruption we've had in a few hundred years. Anywhere in the globe, but still had not necessarily an impact on their life as they knew it, but it still had an impact on their daily life. So as you say, there's just a real, really wide range of ways that volcanoes can affect us on a daily basis.
And I hope that comes across in this podcast series where, you know, we're gonna be talking to people who are doing sometimes very niche things within a very niche subject, within an even bigger subject. Sometimes, like, that's science, man. Like, that's, you know, I'm studying this very specific eruption on this very specific island that's on a chain of islands that's on this continent. But the stories that come along with them and the stories that come from these scientists are like so worth listening to, because they tell stories of our history, of humans, of the planet, and, you know, 80% of the entire Earth's surface is made by volcanoes. It literally, on La Palma right now, it's creating new planet. That blows my mind. And these scientists are at the forefront of that.
Yeah, it's a really, as I say, that juxtaposition of the creation and the destruction is something we always just have to try and fathom when discussing these things. I know, yeah, I'm really excited for the number of people that we've got lined up. So for this podcast, you'll be able to find us across a whole range of media. So you'll be able to find us through YouTube, through wherever you listen to your podcasts. And then in terms of social media, you'll be able to find us on Twitter and Instagram. So that'll be through the handle at Vulcan Knowledge. So that's Vulc A and then the word knowledge interesting there. If you really pronounce the E on the end of volcanology, it says volcanology. I think as Hugh mentioned earlier on, this will be kind of a roughly 30-minute long episode. Well, 30-minute cast per episode with a different guest every single time. And we're hoping to release these on a weekly basis. So hopefully every single week you tune in, there'll be someone new to listen to and to hear perspectives from. And hopefully along the way, we might have some other kind of events to maybe break up a weekly regularity so it doesn't become too ingrained and we like to keep you all on your toes.
Well, this is the thing because, you know, as much as I enjoy chatting to you via the radio waves, there's so much to do out there. And once we're allowed to start kind of moving around again and getting out and visiting these places, there's so many of them to cover, right? And the ability, especially of podcasts, to transport you to those places and to kind of hear and, I was going to say smell, you can't smell them, but you can imagine the smells of these places as well. And if you've been to anywhere with volcanology, you will know what they smell like.
Yeah, but we could always mail people out a small sample of ash, small piece of sulfur by mail.
Yeah, but the ability of podcast to kind of transport you to places means that we should definitely, we will be looking at kind of how we record things in the field and at volcano sites.
So hopefully lots of exciting things to come along the way. Like I say, we've already got 10 episodes lined up for our first series and we've got a second series already in planning. So even when you're trying to piece this together, the number of people that came into mind thinking, they can talk about this, they can talk about this, they can add that perspective. There's so many people to talk about. So I hope we're able to get through them all over the course of time.
It happens more often than I'd like that we start organizing a second season before we've even recorded the first one.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it won't take us too long before we're at that point. So for all of our guests, you'll also be able to follow and support their work. So we'll also have a website where all of this information will be collated. So you'll be able to find that just at volcanology.com. And so you'll be able to go to that website where you can have access to the podcasts themselves, but we'll also upload links to our guests' research, the work they do, so you can also support their efforts. So please, whenever we have someone new on board, I really encourage you and implore you to go and look at the things they do, because we've really got some fantastic people lined up in the coming weeks. And of course, I encourage you all to get in touch. We love feedback. So if you like what you've heard today and in subsequent weeks, you want to tell us what your thoughts are, even if you have suggestions about things you'd like to hear or like to hear us mention as we go on, we'd welcome that as well. And there's people coming on that there's stuff they know that I have no idea about. Like, I've having prior conversations and they say, oh, I could talk about this. Like, well, that I know nothing about that. So please talk to these things, because it brings something new to you. It brings something new to me, and it will very likely then bring something new to everyone. So one other thing I will mention is we've also got a charitable partner for this podcast. So we're working alongside an organization called Geology for Global Development. So GFGD for short, they're a UK-based charity, and their main objectives are championing the role of geology in sustainable development, particularly working towards the sustainable development goals set out by the United Nations. And so what their aims to do over the coming years is to help mobilize and reshape the global geology community to work on these goals. Just a couple of examples, how we provide geologists with skills to make effective contributions to sustainable development, and helping supporting programs in locations around the world that are at risk of particular geohazards. So it's strengthening communities, particularly very vulnerable at risk communities. So there's a lot of fantastic work they do all around the planet. So I really encourage you as well to have a look at their details. You can find them on our website, but also on their website, which is www.gfgd.org. And please donate anything you can towards their causes. Look at the projects they've done in the past, projects they'll go on to do in the future. They've actually just celebrated their 10th anniversary a couple of weeks ago in late September. So it's a really, really great time for them. And they're hoping to announce some new projects they've got working on very soon. So we're really excited to have them on board. They're excited to see who we can bring to them as well. Okay, so I think we'll wrap things up there for today. Thank you for listening, everyone. You're here with Vulcan Knowledge Podcast. I'm Sam.
And I'm Hugh.
And thank you for listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of Vulcan Knowledge, hosted by Sam Mitchell and produced by Hugh James with Anturus Education. This series was supported through the American Geophysical Union's Sharing Science Program, and you can catch more of our episodes and information on our guests on our website, www.vulcanknowledge.com, or follow us on social media at Vulcan Knowledge through Twitter and Instagram.